you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Set holding hands in half-darkened rooms. Nikola Tesla in the Hotel New Yorker, nursing sick pigeons by the open window. Dream of a death ray to disintegrate great matter, detected most told from far away planets. He couldn't stand the touch of hair or of skin, but strove feathers gently on trembling wings, and drew plans for a camera to photograph thoughts, vacuum tube lights, wireless phones. In the last days of silk brocade, ate oysters, Rockefeller with French champagne. But Tesla grew thin, eating only saltines, going days in his lab without any sleep. Hit by a cab while crossing the street, lying on his bedspread, he struggled to breathe. The light bulbs exploded, the air filled with wings. Of wonder when spirits still flew, Tesla vacated his half-darkened room.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
Mention something really quick here. Ooh, boy, that just blew us away.
Wow. You're just like, all right, I'm going to fade this down.
No, I didn't. That was the actual track itself. I had the auto fade built into the track and just killed us. It just didn't. We didn't work.
That's one thing
I want to mention really quick here. Sorry, Doug. When we went to break, Robbie asked me to mention this. A little girl named Victoria Stafford. She's a little girl who's missing in Canada right now. Robbie's working on this case, actually.
Girl,
and he just asked me to mention this to everybody to put a prayer out for this little girl. She's I can't really get into all the details right now, but she's 8 years old. She's been missing since April 8th, 2009. And if you have any information, you can contact the Oxford Community Police, which is the number is 519-421-2800. Okay, that's something that Robbie wanted me to mention, so I want to make sure I did that for you. Her name's Victoria Stafford, and you can actually go. Well, okay.
Well, yeah, you can Google.
You can Google her name, and you can get a lot of information. That's how I got her information.
Staffford.
In the meantime,
our best, Victoria.
What do we have coming up here next?
Well, Dr. Schild is PhD and an astrophysicist at Harvard University, and the director of the 1.5 meter telescope program at the Harvard Smithsonian Cambridge Observatories. He has authored or contributed to over 250 papers. In 1996, Dr. Schild's team observed a microlensing event in one lobe of the twin quasar and has proposed a planet to explain it in galaxy YGKOWG1. This is beyond me already. I'm pretty scared for the next hour. The most distant proposed planet yet.
Yeah.
And then in 2006, Dr. Schild advanced a paper that proposes that the compact central object of the twin quasar is a magnetospheric eternally collapsing object and not a black hole, which, of course, all of that makes me think of the X-Men series. And I'm just, like, completely flabbergasted. So Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Dr. Schild to the program. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And I would like to say just at the outset that my purpose in being here is to help people who have the kinds of experience that your show talks about have been so dissed by the academic crowd to date. You know, I talked to recently at the UFO symposium in Laughlin, Nevada,
mm-hmm.
and I do this because the problem is that the university crowd, who was described at the UFO symposium as a bunch of academic imperialists, has deserved that reputation. That crowd presumes to be the base of all knowledge, a little bit like the Pope presumes to know everything about religion, and I just have no patience for that. I think that there are a great many things that are mysterious to people, and I think that people who have such experiences should say, you know, they're real to me, therefore they're real, and I don't care what the intellectual imperialists say about it or think about it. And so I hope that as we get underway, I'll be able to talk to you a little bit about why and how my research has put me in touch with a new part of the workings of the universe that the intellectual or academic imperialists haven't really processed yet. So turn me on and watch me go.
Well, thank you. That's fantastic because you made a lot of great points there, most notably that there is this is something
I think that does hinder a lot of progress in not just the fields talked about in ufology and cryptozoology and you know what they would call French sciences. I think that hinders even standard sciences as well because there's we know personally or not personally but we've talked with geologists and who've proposed theories and then instead of being like well you know here's what I think about the theory and here's a paper that shows some theories that are against your theories but not hating each other coming to fisticuffs but no instead they just trash you, right? Only dwarfed by astrophysics, of course, which is which is the light speed. But we have I know I'm on a roll. No,
could I speak to your point a little bit? Because again, a very very interesting point, and there's something key I'd like to say here, and that is I have. Now, with various people and colleagues among you, talk to so many people who experience things which I call the modern miracles. And miracles are the things that our science establishment cannot explain. And by modern miracles, I mean things like UFO sightings or life after death experiences or ghost sightings, fairies, burning bushes, biblical mysteries. I'm thinking about mental telepathy. I'm thinking about people doing remote viewing, people channeling voices, all of these phenomena. Now, listen very carefully. What we've now come to terms with about the working of the universe explains all the modern miracles. Do I get that clear? There are a great many things which affect people's lives and people have direct experiences of. Mm-hmm. I call them modern miracles. And now, astronomy, astrophysics, is coming to terms with that part of the universe that enables all of them. Do you understand how heroic that is? In the past, what civilization has done is a kind of a divide and conquer thing. Oh, he believes in UFOs. Ha, ha, ha. Send that off to the National Enquirer. That's UFO stuff. Oh, he believes in crop circles. That's weird. Send it off to the National Enquirer. He believes in mental telepathy. Oh, that's so crazy. She does astrology. That's so weird. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to tell you is that all of these things are now enabled by the dark energy that science is having to come to terms with. And the exact mediator of this in the universe is the universe's black holes. And I study black holes, and I am coming now to terms with these amazing properties of the black holes that nature's made. And, in fact, the new kinds of black holes we're understanding, combined with the dark energy of the universe, this new discovery that's only 10 years old, now seem to explain all of the phenomena of which ghost experiences are just one.
Wow. Do we all have dark energy? Is it all around us, or is it only, tell us what it is and why
it's
so exciting.
Yes, so dark energy is often described in many monikers, many names. Edgar Mitchell, my hero, talks about it as vacuum zero-point energy. If that's too big a mouthful for you, don't worry about it because, scientists have to devise these very careful vocabularies to talk to other scientists. And so it's sometimes called Einstein's blunder. It's sometimes called an ether-like property of the universe. The Chinese call it qi. The Indians call it Akashic record. It's been around with us for so long throughout the history of our civilization, and yet people have not until now understood how this substance, this thing, this ether-like property of the universe now enables all of the things that we couldn't explain before, the things that I'm calling modern miracles, to kind of emphasize the fact that all of these things have something in common. They have this enabling mechanism. And The key to it is the dark energy and the black holes of the universe.
Now, high level, you know, I'm wondering, you know, you're saying that this is, I mean, this is all-encompassing. This is a huge thing. I'm just wondering, this is going to be a really dumb question, because I have a feeling I'm going to ask a lot of dumb questions today when it comes to this, because I'm just the term dark energy, I want to put that out there. I would like to clarify maybe what this is, because I know a few people are going to hear that term, dark energy, because we've mentioned it before in different contexts in this show, right? I'm wondering, I mean, this obviously isn't an evil thing. It's just something that exists. It's a part of our universe, correct, Dr. Schild?
That's exactly right. And so let me say that the term dark energy itself came along about 10 years ago because scientists were already confronted by the fact that there seemed to be some kind of dark matter, mystery dark matter, and I'm not so sure that that exists. And then they found that, in fact, to understand supernova brightness observations, you also had to posit the existence of a dark energy, some kind of something that has an anti-gravitational property in the universe, which is causing the universe to undergo a secondary expansion phase, mm-hmm. which we now are observing through these supernova observations. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that this dark energy thing has many names, but it is the thing that astronomers have now detected from observations. So it's no longer a matter of speculation. It is now considered fact. Mm-hmm. That there is a part of the universe, a kind of a field of the universe, which has a kind of an ether-like property to it, and it is the thing that enables the existence of all of these modern miracles, of which ghosts are just one phenomenon.
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, this is it's really interesting because it, mm-hmm. it like because we started the show with, you know, Stephen Hawking, I want more, and Stephen yeah. Hawking thing, it all ties together kind of thing, right? So, all right, is this dark energy similar in that to light, for example, that has properties of both matter and energy? Does it, or is it even more encompassing, or is it a very limited kind of substance?
It's an even more encompassing thing, and it might actually have been made before the electrons, protons, and the light that's in the universe were made, and astronomy does not seem to know that point at all yet. So what I'm saying is my personal opinion on this particular aspect.
I saw a show once. I think it might have been Planet Earth on, you know, cable or whatever, but it could have been anything, actually, because I watch all kinds of, you know, interesting, but teenagers would not like the shows that I watch.
Bridezillas?
Well, that too. But, no, I saw this show once. And it,
Project
and,
Runway?
Project Runway?
It was a much more heady show than that. It took us back to before, like the origins of the Earth, and it we already had oceans by this time, mm-hmm. And it showed a few, like, you know, simple organisms swimming around and stuff. And they said on the show that none of the organisms on the entire planet at some point in time had eyes, right? So at that point in time, nothing, no, I mean, I know there weren't people, but, you know, there was nothing on the planet even knew that there was light. Yet there was light. I mean, we know that the sun had been there before, you know, the oceans formed on Earth, et cetera, et cetera. So you can project back and say the sun was, you know, really lighting up the Earth and heating it and doing what it does. It's just nobody was around to see it, you know. So there was no organism that actually had the ability to see at the time. So does that mean that light didn't exist then? That kind of thing. Well, of course, I think that the light did exist. They had to develop the eyes, right? So they developed their eyes and they could see. Can we develop something that can see into this dark matter universe?
Let me tell you something. We did develop it many years ago. It's called the brain, and the brain is in contact with this field of energy. In other words, it's the brain that's the key to all of these modern miracles. The brain's interaction with the rest of the universe through the dark energy or the ether-like field is where all the modern miracles are resident. So all of this comes back to the brain. And so to go back to your preamble about primitive or primordial species not seeing the light, but the light was there, so I agree with everything you say. The light was there, people, there was nothing to appreciate its beauty, but eventually that did evolve, or it got to us. And now we are coming to appreciate the fact that we have also, through our conscious behavior and through our active consciousness, actually interacting with this dark energy field, which pervades the entire universe. It has some rather interesting properties that I have to explain to your audience as well.
Please.
And one is going to be a very deep swallow for a lot of people, since especially probably there are people who are scientifically interested in your audience. So listen very carefully.
Okay.
This information that propagates in the ether field easily travels much faster than the speed of light. That is not a speculation. This is based on keen, carefully made observations published in the refereed physical literature. But here is a key fact or qualifier about that. Recall that the Einstein theory of relativity says that no particle can move faster than the speed of light. We still believe that that's true. However, something else can move at the speed of light, faster than the speed of light, and has already been clocked at 10,000 times the speed of light. So we're not talking about a little more than the speed of light. We're talking about enormously more than the speed of light. However, there is no contradiction here with the Einstein theory of relativity, because no particle is being transmitted at this speed. Rather, it's information in the universe that's being transmitted in the ether field at much faster, at least 10,000 times faster than the speed of light. This is what enables the modern miracles, because it means that the human mind interacting with this dark energy can resonate with other enterprises or other entities in the universe at superluminal, faster than light speed, and that's part of what enables ghosts.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So if...
Okay, Doug. Sorry.
Tens of thousands of times faster than the speed of light, because it's information, not a particle.
Yeah, it's not a physical property, correct, Dr. Schild? We're talking about information here.
Correct. So we're talking about that it's something that is physical in this universe, but it is not light. Light is a particular kind of oscillation in what's often called the dipole field, and this was described by the Einstein-Maxwell equations about 100 years ago. However, this other thing has always been intuited by us. It has always been a part of our civilization. The Chinese have always talked about qi. The Indians have always talked about the Akashic record. We have always talked in the Western civilizations about having a soul, an eternal aspect of our being, and a consciousness in which we contact this eternal aspect of our being. And so we have always known about it. However, the academic imperialists cannot understand it for a very good reason.
And what is that reason, if I may ask?
It's because of a big hang-up in the academic community, which I am almost ashamed to say that I'm a member of. And that's the following. The key aspect of soul and of ghost experiences is the assertion that apparently there is an eternal side to our being, and that our act of consciousness is a resonance with this eternal side of our being. So let me give you a little bit of an example that any mother will relate to. Any mother knows that the three children that she has are all different, and they didn't have very much of a different upbringing. It just seems to be that we come to this planet and to this lifetime with a whole body of background. So some see this as past lives that they have experience of. Oh, those people are weird. Send that off to the National Choir. You can't talk about that in a university.
Yeah.
You see the problem here?
Yeah.
Yes.
So until you can come to terms with the fact that there is some eternal side to us, and our act of consciousness is the relationship we develop to this eternal side, to our brain's resonance with it. Until we can come to contact with us, with that, you cannot understand consciousness, and you cannot understand the modern miracles.
When you mention the community that you're a part of, Dr. Schill, one of the ideas, I just want to bounce this off of you, you know, I know that there has been some resistance to these fringe type ideas like you mentioned before.
People have made it their career to just resist the fringe.
But I wonder again why, you know, on a more personal level, why there will be that kind of resistance. And the one thing I think of is that maybe, you know, I guess, you know, and I could feel for somebody if someone spends their entire life working on a theory, working on an idea to present to people, and then someone comes along with another idea that has potential to destroy that theory. I could see why someone would be kind of protective of that. But it seems like they would, if they were a true scientist, they would stop and go, you know what? It's a real bummer that, you know, this work I put into this may be stomped out because of this person's ideas, though, too. But what's right is right, and what truth is, I need to go for that. That's what I'm here to do. It don't seem like that. There are people, it seems like the people, they just completely ignore that, unfortunately. And that's some of the things I see. Do you follow what I'm saying, Dr. Schild?
Yes, I certainly do. And, of course, I am going to get in some kind of trouble of this kind myself for talking publicly about things that scientists aren't supposed to talk about. However, I'm up against the fact that there is new science on the table now. We have this new dark energy thing, and somebody better talk about its properties. And we have these new black hole things that we now understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the centers of all the major galaxies, and we're mm-hmm. starting to come to terms with what that means, like from the point of observational science. But the university community is nowhere close to thinking about the aspects of this that tie into modern miracles and ghosts in particular. So that's why I want to bring this out a little bit and get the people that would be in your audience to see, wait a minute, mm-hmm. maybe the things that I'm experiencing are not so weird after all. Never mind that university research doesn't deal with this. Maybe there's a reason why university science can't deal with it. Maybe they don't know as much as I do. Whoa!
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Their lives have been completely trying to block out all that stuff, whereas we're
you mentioned that there is an elitist idea to this, right? And with any... There's even a paranormal elite out there. We've seen it. Some people even pointed their finger at us about being a part of it here at Ghostly Talk, which we think is hysterical.
Yeah,
but
that was funny.
You know, there's an elite. Whenever within any type of, you know, any type of interest group, I guess you're going to have that elitist mentality sometimes. And yeah, I guess this may be playing in with, you know, with this idea.
I think after the break, because we have to go to break. We have to do the news with Bonnie Vest.
Yep,
right?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
But so we're going to go to break. But during the break, I want to think about the next things that I'm going to ask Dr. Sheldon. I think it's going to be along the lines of, for example, we can make light. We plug a light bulb in, flip a switch, and light happens. We can make radio waves. You know, I know, I don't know how, but they do it, and then I can tune in my receiver and hear it. So we can make these things that seem
it's
to go.
Fairies that do it.
Yeah, fairies. Right.
Fairies make radio.
But what could we make a gizmo?
Yeah.
Then that would emit some kind of dark energy that we can use and to talk to ghosts. I don't know.
And then sell it for a profit.
No, not that. I just want to see if we can do it.
You'd have to make a pilot about it.
Oh, we'd make a pilot about it?
Then sell it for a profit.
Yes. Then have a crappy TV show.
Then sell it for a profit.
Oh, okay. I see. I'm totally mixed up on the way it's going to happen, but I
want
to know if there's a gizmo yet, or a gizmo eventually that could be made to use this dark matter to absorb it.
We got a lot.
I want to talk about that after the break to see if we can make a ghost scope, and we're going to find out after the break.
Ghostly Talk!
Station 3.0.
Paranormal investigation groups all over the world are looking for answers. We all clamor at the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers. dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Welcome to Paranormal Headline News, produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. This is Bonnie Vent. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver? Or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. He was our 39th president, and guess what? He lived in a haunted house. Not the White House, which we all know to be haunted, but a house back in his own hometown. Now, I know you all want proof, so here's a clip from the man himself, courtesy of WRBL News and David Spunt.
Following his time in the Navy, President Carter and his young wife, Rosalind, moved back here to Plains. When they came back, he says times were tough and money was tight.
The first year I was home, our total income for the whole year was $280 for 12 months. And then we made a little bit better later on, and then we were able to rent the haunted house, which was a nice house.
That's right. Before the White House, he once lived in this house, known by locals for its ghostly encounters.
There were things that we heard in the house, you know, and there was a common belief that if you stayed in the front room of the house, in a bedroom, that there was no way you could keep the sheets and blankets on you all night. Something would pull the sheets and blankets off.
Sci-Fi Channel has picked up Unfinished Business, a drama pilot from Will Smith's Overbrook Entertainment, says The Hollywood Reporter. Smith will produce the show about a former policeman who can see the memories of dead people. The two-hour pilot will serve as the basis for a potential series. Other two-hour pilots currently waiting to air at Sci-Fi include The Phantom, a remake of the comic, and The Eerie River World. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parxnews@aol.com. Or join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
Is the veil between this world and the next getting thinner? I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
You go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality. And reality is less than television.
We're going to ramp down properly this time.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Don't start up
No.
You don't want to hear my Scott staff?
Oh,
Ghost Hunter impersonation?
I loved it. I loved it.
I'm going to talk like this the whole show. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not working?
No, because
you're my girlfriend whenever I do something stupid. No.
Because we're actually learning something.
We are. We are.
We're talking with Dr. Schild of... Let me give the website out.
We couldn't find an official website for you, Dr. Schild, so I just made do with what I could find. Is there a website that you'd like to direct the listeners to?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So my personal website, which is operated at the Smithsonian Harvard Center for Astrophysics, and so it's rather limited to real science topics. We talk about hard science with research and black holes and so on. So that's the following.
Mm-hmm.
http://CFA, C as in Charles, F as in Frank, A as in Adam, CFA.harvard.edu. /R-Schild, R-S-C-H-I-L-D.
That's what we had.
Excellent.
That's the one.
Yep. We'll put a link, of course, at ghostlytalk.com. We'll put a link up at to that. So if you go to ghostlytalk.com, you can link in, or you can write down http://cfa.harvard.edu/, and then a tilde,
mm-hmm.
R-Schild, S-C-H-I-L-D.
Definitely
and
check that
to the site.
And by the way, Scott, you were underwhelmed with the site because there's no mention of ghosts on it, whatever. This is really a university site made to be read by graduate students and other professors. And all of this stuff that I do on the side is not part of the university page.
Right. I understood. So... The dark energy that they've, you know, absolutely has to be there, right? It has to be there. So we know it's there. We know something's going on with it. And that it explains a heck of a lot that people just need to open up their minds to understand how this can relate to ghosts and mental telepathy and all of these powers that people have, you know, seen in the National Enquirer for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's got to be there. We see it. We know it's there. And it is related to ghosts in some way. Why can't you make a ghost scope that tunes into dark energy frequencies?
Love, a great question. So let me pursue that a little bit. So in the first place, we were born with a fabulous ghost scope, and that's our brain. And our brain is able to relate to ghosts by the following procedure. So... ghosts is typically results of deceased spirits do still survive in the universe because the soul of that person was immortal, but on the death of that person, the kind of wormhole that expressed that person's consciousness is largely closed, or you might say has essentially gone to lower amplitude and is very difficult to tune into, or is more difficult to tune into than when the person was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person's wormhole, the person's connection to the eternal soul is the thing that allows us to resonate with it with our brain, and Edgar Mitchell was the first to understand how the brain actually does this. You have to imagine that the dark energy that I've been talking about actually is a wave-like pattern in space, which the brain tunes into by the following process. The brain does what's called phase conjugate adaptive resonance. Now, that's for my colleagues. And in a simpler way, I would say simply, the brain resonates with it.
Okay.
And because of this ability of the brain to resonate with it, the brain can sometimes pick up a weak signal that's the sort of the residual of the person's life and is now the ghost of that person. Now, when I talk about the residuum or the residual or this lost, this faint signal, you have to remember that the signal person's life is, are you there still?
Yes. Yeah, we're still here.
You hear me? Okay, mm-hmm. I heard a little beep. That signal can be tuned in especially well by some people in our civilization. And those people we all know about, there are some people who had near-death experiences. And when they return, they report that they're especially well tuned to many aspects of the universe that are related to telepathy, ghosts, and the like. And I'm sure that many of your viewers have noticed what I call a kind of a mission creep. Mission creep, I mean, if I'm interested in ghosts, it's likely that I'm interested in channeling, and I'm interested also in voices that I hear in my mind, and I'm interested in past lives. In other words, those people who have been sped up in some way are especially finely tuned, and so there seem to be some people who are especially sensitive to ghosts. Now, let me give you an example from your own show of 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter. Are you aware that Jimmy Carter, in addition to claiming experience of ghosts in a home, has also claimed experience of UFOs and has filed an official UFO report at a time before he went to the White House, and therefore we know sees UFOs. That's a prime example of what I'm saying. There are some people in our civilization who are especially aware and attuned to such phenomena, ghosts being one of them, but also UFOs being one of them. And so you provided a good example, unintentionally, but there it is. People who are sensitive to ghosts are likely to be sensitive to and interested in other phenomena,
oh.
And that's sort of what I mean by mission creep.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just creepy.
I am one of those that suffer from mission creep because I find something, you know, I'm reading on a topic that I'm interested in, and sure enough, something will be mentioned that's equally as interesting, and I'm
well,
off
again,
on that tangent.
This totally, totally rams this point down that we talk about all the time here of how we think all this stuff is related again, right?
Yeah.
Because,
yes.
I mean,
so,
go ahead, Dr. Schill.
So that is my central point,
mm-hmm.
that all of these phenomena are enabled by the same activity of the universe, and it is focused on our human brain and the active transmission of information by our brain, but also the reception of information in the dark energy field. And we haven't talked very much yet about how the universe processes such information, and maybe it's just as well that we don't attempt to, because that gets a little bit further from what you guys are talking about, and I'd be perfectly happy to talk about this mission creep thing. So, in fact, would you like to underscore this point of mine by saying some of the things that you guys, who are admittedly interested in ghosts,
mm-hmm.
also are interested in or have experience of? In other words, have any of you seen a flying saucer?
Oh, hell yeah! Heck yeah, Dr. Schill. Sorry.
Yes, I have. He has. I have not, but he has.
Yes, I have.
So Scott has seen a flying object that he could not identify, and he's described it to many people. They even had a video of it, and it's totally baffled him, you know, since, and it is an unidentified flying object, so he has seen it.
All right, Scott. Mm-hmm. Scott, tell me, why did you do it?
Why? Tell me.
And by that, I really literally mean, almost certainly,
mm-hmm.
the reason that you saw the UFO just as Jimmy Carter saw the UFO and you see ghosts, is the fact that you are a better transmitter to the rest of the universe than most of us. And the UFO, in appearing in our space-time continuum here on Earth, rode a great celestial wave. It's kind of like an act of surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And tuned in on your frequency because you're such a big open transmitter.
I'm big. I don't know if I'm open, though.
Well, no, why did you do it?
Well, here's my question, though. You mentioned, okay, I have made it very clear in many shows here in the past about this experience that I had recently with my girlfriend and Tom with this UFO. Now, I have to say, though, Dr. Shield, that I've never seen a ghost, though. I've never seen a physical...
Whereas
my,
I have.
You've seen a ghost, though.
So maybe we're tuned into different parts
well,
of
yeah.
this.
So I haven't seen ever... I mean, I haven't seen a ghost, but I have seen a UFO, though, Dr. Shield. Doug, on the other hand, has seen...
A ghost, but no UFO.
Yeah.
We're like two peas in a
so maybe,
the opposite
yeah.
pod.
So between the two of you, you have it all. But I think that you understand by my example from
yeah.
Jimmy Carter
yeah.
that there are some people that just seem to be having these weird things all the time, and, of course, it's their fault. In other words, it's something about the way their brain is working, and it might be that it's partly learned things. In other words, it might have to do with the fact that many of us can do this very well as children, but are being taught in school, oh, you didn't experience that, that was just a coincidence, and so we're being taught to ignore it.
Mm.
Or it might be that there are some people like I myself who just don't have these experiences because we're just two hard-nosed members of the science establishment. I have never seen a UFO. I have never seen a ghost. I don't really have telepathic experiences, but that doesn't mean that I have the right to say
mm-hmm.
that nobody else has either.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not an academic imperialist.
Well, you're saying that this is being sent out to us. I mean, there has to be something on our end, though, too. There has to be some type of recognition, I think, which might explain my situation. Because, I mean, UFOs, we've done a lot of talking about that. This happened before that, though, right? But UFOs, for the longest time, have been a subject for me that I find much more, how would you say, tangible than the study of ghosts. Even though I'm fascinated with the study of ghosts, and, you know, we've talked about it a lot here on the show over the years, I find the UFO thing to be a much more accepting type of thing, especially with the ghost hunting thing that, as it is now. I think I've been very vocal in saying that I can be frustrated at times with the field, and my mindset may have been that way for a long time. I may have had a ghost walk right by me, but if my mind isn't where it needs to be, where I can be accepting of that, right? I may have not seen that ghost. You follow what I'm saying, Dr. Shield?
Yes, I think that you're exactly right. I think that everything you say is exactly correct. And if I could just paraphrase it, in my own words, I would say that you may have been in a position where you might have been able to resonate with that ghost the way some people do.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be that for some reason you close your mind to it, or you are not practiced to doing it, or
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, you just don't have that experience, and I sympathize because I'm the same way myself.
There you go.
There is something I want to ask, too, because we have a connection already. Our brains are automatically a connection to this dark energy that, is pervasive in the universe and is an information system as well as, you know, energy and matter. It's like a whole bunch of things. And I like the way we've got a connection to it, hence the concept of a soul kind of thing, and our brains resonate with this. Well, what if people have abnormal brains? I don't know if I mean abnormal brains or abnormal input-output systems. Like, my particular, one of the things that bothers me the most is our folks and children and folks who are, you know, we consider them handicapped, right? Mentally handicapped.
Right.
But folks whose brains don't talk to their bodies correctly and their bodies can't do the movements and they can't, you know, communicate with us through verbal and motion because they are, you know, handicapped in ways. I'm wondering, would they have a clearer connection to the universe, you know, hence they're, you know, they seem to be happier more than I am, or would they have a a bad connection? Can you get a bad connection where you can't tune in at all? I mean, how does the physiology of the brain coincide with your experience of dark energy?
Good, very nice question. Here's my impression, and I'm not an expert on what we call brain pathology, of course. However, what I have noticed in talking with a few autistic children and some of these other syndrome children is that it usually turns out that children or even adults who are special in this way tend to be underprivileged in some means of communication and overprivileged in others. So their brain activity isn't quite as balanced as is considered normal in our civilization. And many people, for example, become what I might call social misfits, but at the cost or at the advantage, on the other hand, that they can do mathematical calculations like nobody else. Or they have a extremely intuitive side to them. Mm-hmm. And so basically everything in life that relates to the brain seems to me to be a double-edged sword. It's always there's good news and there's bad news.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's encouraging.
I'm in pain.
I know, I am too. This is I
knew this was going to happen, but it's good. If my head starts to hurt a little, that means my brain is working overtime.
Now, because and I know I sound like I'm grilling and taking pot shots at this, but it's because I want to know it all at once, and I know I'm not going to do it because I'm limited by time. So I want to talk about something about being limited by time. It seems that if something can travel, the information can travel, you know, super duper fast, 50,000 times faster than even the speed of light, right? The concept of time means nothing then to the information that's actually traveling. It doesn't have that similar concept of time because we know time, according to Einstein, doesn't that if you're a particle anyway,
mm-hmm.
it has to do with how your speed. So time and speed are kind of related if you're a particle. Mm-hmm. But if you're information, you may or may not have a concept of time.
I mean,
I
think you're on the right track here, Doug.
Yeah, while my connection to my interaction with the dark energy right now is happening, like right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Could my next life be happening in the past? In our past?
And the future. So that's a very tricky question to answer because I haven't gotten much, I haven't had a chance to tell you much about the role of black holes. I've only hinted at it. But here is the reality of it.
Okay.
And many of your radio audience will be able to understand this exactly by the time I've had the 2 minutes it takes to explain it. The way the universe apparently works is that the black holes in the universe, and of course there's one at the center of the galaxy that was formed in the earliest days of the universe, and some smaller ones that are now being formed at a later time in the universe. These black hole objects store, listen carefully, all information of all time, past and present, and they seem to emit information about the future. And what that means is that there are some people who can tune into things that will probably happen in the future. However, it's a rather tricky subject, and I can't really describe it fully for you because mm-hmm. don't forget that the universe had to be built in such a way that there is free will. And so here is how this plays out in practice, and this will be a big stretch for most of your audience, but some people might be able to catch out how this works. Black holes are both the place where all information of this conversation and of your being and everything about us gets stored in the universe. At the same time, black holes are the most quantum extreme place in our universe. Extremes of gravity, extremes of density, extremes of temperature, and extremes of quantum effects. And the practical aspect of that is that whatever is guiding the universe, whatever the creator of the universe wants to happen,
mm-hmm.
emerges at the surfaces of the black holes as a possibility. And so when we pray, our communal prayer goes to the black hole, and it mixes with the intent of the universe, and what actually plays out in our reality is some admixture of those two.
My
wow.
God. Well, you're saying the black...
Oh, excuse me, and could I say one more thing about that?
Go right ahead.
Many people in your radio audience have the experience of getting snatches and glimpses of the future. And I'd like to tell you about kind of how that works. Many in your audience will have a future, a glimpse of, don't get in that car, I had a sense of something terrible happening.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you don't get into the car for that reason, because you have free will. But maybe that person was tuning into the fact that something will probably happen if you do get in the car. And so we live in a world in which both things are true. You can plug into the future of the universe as a possibility, but that mixes at the black hole with your free will. So we live in a universe that has preordination and the intent of the creator at work, and we have free will.
And it all works together.
It's all working together, and it's through the activity of the brain, through the act of consciousness. And I sometimes lecture about consciousness, but to do that, I have to drag you through a computer model and draw a few diagrams, and so we're simply not going to go there in a very limited talk show.
Well, don't blame us. You do lecture, because you were at the UFO thing out in, was that in Laughlin, Nevada this past
February? Yes, and so if you want to hear the rest of the details of how the universe does these miracles,
mm-hmm.
it was all laid out there, and your listening audience can simply look up Google the Laughlin, Nevada UFO Conference, and they will sell you a DVD for, I think, $20, in which I do go into exquisite detail about what we've learned about black holes, why we now have different view of what they do in the universe, and all this business about what is dark energy, what is the nature of consciousness, and how do black holes and our consciousness enable all of these modern miracles, of which ghosts and the appearances of ghosts are but one.
Fantastic. I'll try to find a link to put up on our website.
I think that's a good idea. Amazing stuff.
We cranked through this. Do you
make other appearances at other conferences? Are you planning on keeping it up, or was it like, I did my bit? How do you feel about that?
I love to talk to people about this, because I'm so, what I would say, annoyed or so frustrated by how so many of my colleagues in their ivory towers, in an act of intellectual imperialism, are disbelieving and causing so many people to doubt the things that are in their experience, when, in fact, these experiencers are closer to the truth than the ivory tower crowd. And so I'm trying to get people to be more confident in their real experiences, in data that I'm interested in, and I regret the academic community is not yet interested in, because they don't know how to deal with anything where you talk about an eternal soul.
Mm-hmm. It isn't hard numbers and blacks and whites.
So we're going to watch for you on...
Well, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to talk to you more.
I think, you know, we covered a lot here, but, in pure ghostly talk fashion, we probably didn't
always
get the iceberg.
Yeah, we always get the good little bits, and then we never get to the actual meat of
the pie. So we'll have to have you come back on again sometime, Dr. Hill, if you'd like.
Yes, I think that would be fine. Here's what I propose. You'll probably get some communications with your radio audience, some emails, and I hope that you will just put all of that together and maybe in a few months' time get back in touch with me and say, what is it that you would like to hear more of?
Yeah.
And it would help if one of you would watch the DVD so that you have some sense of where this has to go, what the complications of it are, why it takes more than 25 words or less to describe such complicated things, because we are talking about a substantially new vision of what the universe is, its quantum underpinnings, and what the nature of our brain and consciousness are within all that.
Absolutely groundbreaking work. Thank
hang
you.
Hang on the line for 1 second, Dr. Schill. We just have to go to break here.
Yes, hang on for one moment. I want people to go to, we're going to put up the cfa.harvard.edu/
Yeah, we'll put that up. It's already up there, actually.
Oh, okay. So we'll put that up at ghostlytalk.com. And, of course, don't forget, everybody, you Google the Laughlin, Nevada UFO Conference from February of this year.
Yeah.
And get the DVD of his of Dr. Schill's
I would like to check it
speech
out.
And see. That'll give you a lot more information on this. Coming up next, wow. I mean, we're going from astrophysics.
I'm wound tired in the snare drum right now.
Over to Pulitzer Prize-winning science writer and professor of journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So
Deborah Blum's coming up. Yep.
Yes, coming up next on Ghostly Talk.